Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Good morning. It is Thursday, January 19th. It is 6 minutes after 10. His name is Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels, and this is 93 WIBC. Thanks for being here this morning. So House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer sent a letter to the University of Pennsylvania asking for a detailed list of all of the people who had access to the Penn Biden Center in Washington, D.C., where classified documents from the Obama administration were discovered in Joe Biden's office. He said in the letter that Biden's pattern of mishandling classified documents is alarming, and that the committee is concerned about who had access to the documents given the Biden financial connections to foreign actors and companies.
Every American should have pause when you see someone who is as important to a nation as the President of the United States, and when you look at that person and you realize any objective person would recognize this is a person who at the very best could potentially be highly compromised. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, because Joe Biden, just on his own words, okay, let's take any speculation or anything out of the way. Joe Biden, on his own words, shares a very close, continued very close bond and relationship with his son, Hunter Biden. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't think there's any disputing that. So if you couple that, it's not like he is, well, I've distanced myself from him and I haven't talked to him in years, or I'm very disappointed in him. He's never even said he's disappointed in Hunter Biden. That's mm-hmm. how close and how mm-hmm. dear Hunter Biden is to him. So when you take that reality and you couple it with the obvious issues that Hunter Biden has, you have a person who is totally in prime position to be used, manipulated. Mm-hmm. Again, take away his willing participation in all of this, right? Well, we now is becoming abundantly clear that he was skimming money and he was in cahoots. And I'm just saying, take all that out of the equation. He, just as a human being, given his relationship with his son, is totally, totally ripe to be used, exploited, and taken advantage of. And that's the dude that's in charge of the U.S. military. I'm sorry, it's not a Democrat or Republican thing. That's a very scary thing for our nation.
Well, Hunter Biden has said that he didn't think he would be on that board of directors for Burisma had his last name not been Biden. And the documents which Biden apparently obtained were allegedly to deal with foreign influence or defense. Defense. That sounds scary.
Yeah, so we've got two really good pieces of audio on this. And again, it comes back to there are things that should be above partisan politics. And one of the things that should be above that is the president's role as the commander in chief and his ability to negotiate and deal with foreign entities. And the reality is that Joe Biden, there's no person, if they're being remotely honest with themselves or if they said out loud the people around them, they would say, I feel super good given this guy's ability to be compromised. And then when you tack on top of that what you absolutely know about him, that you would say, I feel really good that this is the dude negotiating in rooms with people like Putin or Kim Jong-un mm-hmm. or whatever. So James Comer, he's the representative from Kentucky. We've been playing a lot of him lately because he's the guy who's basically going to be in charge of investigating in the House of Representatives by the Biden crime syndicate, said that Biden cannot be trusted with our nation's secrets.
Doesn't this show that the leader of the Democrat Party, Congressman, cannot be trusted with our nation's secrets?
Absolutely. I would have said that long before this document scandal, but no, he can't be trusted. I mean, his family is compromised. If you look at what's come out this week, in addition to the fact that he had classified document in an unsecure location that he wasn't supposed to possess, is the fact that the Biden Center for Diplomacy was funded almost exclusively through anonymous donations from China. Now, we knew this and we were going to bring this out in our committee hearings, but I'm glad that it's come out so people can see there the investigation of the Biden family influence peddling is justified. There is a pattern of the Biden family receiving enormous sums of money from anonymous sources in China. That's a national security risk. Now we see that he had classified documents in different locations strode around. The Biden Center, which I already said was funded through anonymous sources in China. The Biden residence where Hunter hangs out, and we know all the implications he has with respect to the money he's received from China, his Chinese friend that used to work at the CCP that he was involved with, hanging out with at that house. This is very concerning, and that's why that we have to move forward with this investigation, not just of the classified document.
Okay, so not only is James Comer saying this, but also Adam Schiff, who's a Democrat from California, said Congress could not exclude the possibility that national security was jeopardized by the way Biden handled the documents. And we know the most serious violations have been prosecuted where material was intentionally removed. So did he intentionally remove these documents for financial gain?
Yeah, and the biggest issue, and we started the show with this today, is the ducking and the dodging that is taking place from the Biden administration in terms of leveling up with the American people. Because, again, if it's some guy's phone number and that was classified, okay. You know, if it's some guy's address or whatever. But if it's, you know, nuclear codes or military strategy or whatever, that's a total different ballgame. And we don't know what it is. We don't know what these documents are.
Well, and it's being said, it's being reported that they have to do with defense. So is it the budget of defense, how much we're spending versus other countries, how much they're spending, how much we need to spend?
Well, and so the guy's name is Tony Schaefer. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army. He was on Newsmax yesterday, and he talked a little bit about what his sources are telling him in regards to these Biden documents, and it's not good.
What I see here, John, happening is that the Biden team, to include Joe, knowingly took highly classified documents. My sources are telling me, John, these are highly classified NSC level summaries of TS, top secret, special compartmented information summaries that he then was using to benefit Hunter Biden. And let me be very clear on this for our audience. The reason that the DOJ does not want the FBI to show up, and my sources have told me, FBI wants to be there because in Delaware, there's an ongoing investigation of Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is a material witness, if not a co-conspirator, in whatever was going on with these documents based on the location. Hunter Biden, was paying rent at that house, which apparently was being funneled to him by the Chinese. Gee, there's a clue. And all of this needs to be investigated by an actual law enforcement organization that can examine the potential for the very thing you just said, the Espionage Act. And it's very clear at this point, with all these lawyers involved, you probably remember the movie Pulp Fiction. This is like Mr. Wolf, like a team of Mr. Wolfs coming in to clean up the crime scene. This is not an investigation. This is essentially trying to do everything they can to cauterize the wound being caused by what is now being seen. James Rosen suffering from it. The White House is lying to these guys constantly, and it's something that must be resolved, and President Biden must be held accountable.
It really sounds like they're trying to keep all the agencies separate so that they can't share notes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're absolutely, they're not leveling with the American people, and that's what we talked about to begin the show. When you make a mistake, if you just come, we are a very forgiving society, especially people want to believe that their president is above reproach, or at least there was a time in this country where people wanted to believe that. And I still believe to some extent it's true. But the reason this is going so poorly for Biden is he is strong arming everyone, including the people in the media, or stiff arming, I should say, everyone, including the people in the media who have previously been cheerleaders. And they don't like that. Casey, when we come back, a lady lost $52 million because of where she bought her lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. It's on the way from 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Listen to the rhythm of the phone. I'm glad we did this today. Isn't this the best birthday gift you could have ever received?
18 minutes after 10, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. This is it.
What do you mean? Wait, what?
This is it. Enjoy your Dan Fogelberg song here.
It's Dan Fogelberg Day.
I'm ending it.
You're ending it.
I'm making the call.
But we got a lot of songs to get to. We got to Run for the Roses.
It's my birthday.
Make Love Stay.
My birthday, and you're bringing me down with
Dan
Fogelberg.
Maybe we'll just bring back Leader of the Band again for fun.
No, this is it. This is your last Dan Fogelberg song, because for the rest of the show until noon, I get to pick the music.
Huh.
I get a day, okay?
Well, look, if you want to be selfish, then fine.
I'll do an extra slow fade out on this one.
I'm vetoing Dan Fogelberg Day. He's great, Rob. Fantastic. We don't need a whole day.
Women love Dan Fogelberg.
You say so.
I don't think you understand the magnitude.
You love Dan Fogelberg.
Well, it's true.
He's all right, but I don't need a whole show full of him. Okay?
You know, when I was a boy, I believed that the things that guys like Fogelberg and Jackson Browne and Bruce Springsteen wrote about, mm-hmm. I believed that's how it really was. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to find some girl and you're going to hold her and you're going to tell her you love her forever. And it just, you're going to run right into history together. And then you realize these guys are mostly full of crap.
Doesn't
man.
Work that way.
I was 30 years old. I remember it dawned on me at 30 years old. And I said, I've been completely lied to.
You've been snowed by your idols.
I wasted an entire decade on these people thinking this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Let's get to some trending stories. Facebook is in the news. And Instagram, their oversight board is recommending that the ban on bare breasts violates human rights of women, transgender, and non-binary people.
So, wait.
Yeah, Facebook will allow pictures of naked breasts for trans and non-binary people going forward.
What about am I getting in trouble if I say regular people? Is that something I'm going to get?
Not for cisgender women. So if you're trans or non-binary, you can show your breasts and nipples.
Uh-huh.
If you're a cisgender person, no.
What is a cisgender? Say it.
Normal.
Oh, okay, perfect. It's your birthday. They can't fire you on your birthday.
Well, they can, but hopefully they won't. Also trending is the World Economic Forum and Davos, and Al Gore was there, and he became unhinged. He was going on a rant about environmental threats, including rain bombs and boiling oceans, and I thought you'd enjoy a clip of that.
Young people around the world are looking at what we're doing. They look at the World Bank and they say, oh, you've got a climate denier in charge of the World Bank. So why are you surprised that the World Bank is completely failing?
He was angry. And then he went off on a tangent about Greta Thunberg and yeah.
So since this will be our final segment of Calmer, Gentler, Rob, since you're pulling.
Mm-hmm.
The fabric by which holds the kinder, gentler Rob together.
Dan Fogelberg.
And our boss.
I didn't know Dan Fogelberg had that on you, that effect. Like, well, that much power over you.
Well, it is not power over me. It's just very calming. And when I start a segment, you know, with something that brings me a sense of
joy,
you know, peace, joy, whatever. And our boss and I had a great little conversation yesterday, and he challenged me not to use certain words for a week.
Oh.
So there was a word I was going to use for Al Gore, but I'm not going to use it. So as a kinder, gentler, not using words I normally use, I will say that if you are still buying what this dude is selling you, after all the hypocrisies, after all the times he's been wrong, I urge you to seek help of some sort, because this guy is a total carnival barker who has given himself, enabled himself to secure immense wealth on your you're being a modern version of Fox Mulder and needing to believe.
So John Kerry's been at this World Economic Forum, and they keep saying how they're going to save the future of the planet.
Sure.
They're the future. John Kerry is 80 years old.
Is he 80?
So he better hurry up.
Is he 80?
He's 80. Wow. Yeah. 23 minutes after 10, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And do you remember the Mega Millions winner? It was $1.35 billion this person won. The winner was from Maine, winning the fourth largest jackpot in U.S. history.
Yeah.
They could have been a whole lot richer. They could have had $52 million more if they had just been 1.5 miles down the road.
Isn't this interesting? So the jackpot was $1.35 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But this lady bought the ticket in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And because Maine has a state income tax,
yep,
and New Hampshire does not, she essentially cost herself $52 million. Now, there's two ways to look at this, Casey. You can say, well, she cost herself $52 million. If she is a person who lets the machine generate the ticket, then really she didn't, because had she not bought that ticket at
there,
that place, the
yeah.
machine would not have generated those numbers. However, if she is a person like many people who is using birthdays or anniversaries
yeah.
or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, absolutely. Now, it's pretty tough to cry tears for someone who still will walk away with hundreds of millions of dollars, but it does point out how much states like Indiana are actually taking from the populace because of the income tax.
Okay, so if she takes the single lump sum, which most people do tend to do,
yeah,
she's going to walk away with $404 million.
Okay.
After income taxes are deducted.
Oh, after taxes.
After taxes.
After all taxes.
Still winning $404 million.
Okay, and we've talked about this before. I think most people, I agree with you, would take the money.
Mm-hmm.
I think the smarter move is probably not to take the money up front, but you're also banking on the government not screwing you over in some capacity. But then you also are helping the government make hundreds of millions of dollars, because that's the prize, but they've limited the prize because you're not taking all of it. I realize we're having a ridiculous, totally first world problem conversation here. If someone presents you with $400 million,
mm-hmm.
thank you. You all have a nice life. It's been knowing you. Nice knowing you.
Take the money and run.
Yes.
Let's talk about this interview that Glenn Beck had, and it was with Richard Dreyfuss. He was explaining his concern over a woeful lack of civics education in the United States. So I know that you say that Richard Dreyfuss is completely liberal.
Oh, super liberal.
However, over the years, he's kind of changed his political tune a little bit. He has been to a Ted Cruz rally, a Marco Rubio rally.
When did this happen?
In about 2016 is when he start changing his
tune.
Really? He's a never Trumper.
Oh.
However, he has been posting on social media that he is not a Democrat.
Okay.
So,
well, you're halfway there, buddy.
Yeah. And he founded this Dreyfuss Civics Initiative, and the purpose is to teach civics to the American public. He says we need this in education. Our students need to be learning more about civics in class.
So we actually have a little audio of this. Take a listen.
I gave up something I loved and had loved since I was 9 years old, only for something else I loved as much, which was saving my country. And I firmly believe that if we don't revive the study of civics, we will be dead before 2050. We'll have the same name.
Long before.
And it'll be a nightmare. So, I had led a blessed life, and I gave it up for a blessed life. And I think that this book is not perfect, but boy, is it Richard. And it infuriates me that people don't understand what this place means, what an advance on human progress this country is all about, and how quickly we can abandon it without a second thought.
He says that he wants to empower future generations with critical thinking skills and that we need to fulfill the vast potential of American citizenship. His book is called One Thought Scares Me. He retired from acting. He said he went to Oxford for 4 years to learn about civility and civics. And in regards to censorship on social media, he said is breaking the most fundamental part of the First Amendment, and social media giants attempting to protect citizens from information do us all a disservice.
Okay, well, and the most underrated Richard Dreyfuss movie is What About Bob? Casey has ruined all the fun. No more Dan Fogelberg, but the voicemails are coming up next.
It's 93 WIBC. Call me. 317-684-8444. That's our phone number with your questions, comments, or smart remarks. And before we get into your voicemails, I would like to say that, no, it is not What About Bob. It's either Jaws or Mr. Holland's Opus, which was Richard Dreyfuss's best movie.
We were talking about this during the break because we played that audio from Richard Dreyfuss last segment. First of all, his signature is the most lazy signature I think I've ever seen for a person of his stature.
Yeah.
He should be ashamed of himself. And Richard Dreyfuss is also a guy who, like, if you were to say the name Richard Dreyfuss, you would think, oh my gosh, what a big time actor.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you're actually looking at his repertoire or
IMDb page,
list of films. Yes, he has had a couple of films that you would say, wow, those were really big movies, especially early on. American Graffiti, Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But then, I mean, there's some that are you know, known movies. Good, you know, The Goodbye Girl, Stand By Me, Down and Out in Beverly Hills. But then it's like, other than What About Bob and Mr. Holland's Opus, Richard Dreyfuss is not some box office juggernaut, but yet when you say his name, you think that's a really big time actor.
Yeah, well, he's been in some good ones. Jaws being the best, of course. We're gonna need a bigger boat.
You have said that now 93 times, and yes, we are all fully aware that is a line in the movie Jaws. Yes, thank
Casey's
you.
Casey's birthday. Yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
Speaking of Casey's birthday, you got a very special phone call on the hotline at 317-684-8444. From someone who wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Hey, Kendall and Katie, it's me again. It's Biden, Transportation Secretary Mayor Pete. I love the show. I listen every day. Hey, I wanted to call and wish Casey Daniels a happy birthday because it's her birthday today. Of course, she and I go way back with our time together in South Bend. You know, she was a beloved media darling, and you know me, I was Mayor Pete. And here we are all these years later, and she's still a beloved media darling. And I'm a failed travel agent in the Biden administration. Funny how things happen. Well, I gotta go. Big guy's got me going through all these documents. Bye, guys.
Big guy's kind of going through some documents. Sure.
So happy birthday, Casey.
Thank you.
I mentioned yesterday, apparently Night Court is back after 30 years of being off the air.
Yeah.
The only person who from the original is in the new one is John Larroquette.
Right.
Who plays the same guy, Dan Fielding. He was the prosecutor in the first one. Now he's the public defender in this one. So I had not seen it as of yet. Yesterday when I made the announcement about it. And I did watch it last night.
And?
But before I talk about watching it last night, I will we'll play this phone call.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Tom on Southside. You're talking about new Night Court on the show Wednesday. It turned into the John Larroquette show is what it turned into. I was rather disappointed. We have been faithfully watching the old shows on 6.2 here in Indianapolis on the Laugh network that they have. Those things are funny to beat the band because they were not politically correct. And now in the interest of doing things right, everything has to be PC, and it's taken a lot of the edge off the show. Believe me, Mr. Larroquette does a great job, but the rest of the cast is, let's put it this way, they're less than memorable.
Hmm. So well, that's how you become a star. Surround yourself with people who aren't as good.
Well, but it's like John Larroquette is 70-something years old now. He's almost 80 years old.
75.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, so I would say this. There was a brief about 3 minutes into the thing where you're feeling pretty sentimental, and mm-hmm. it's like, that's cool.
Wears off quickly.
And then it just wears off very quickly because you cannot recreate something that, one, was original, mm-hmm. two, had phenomenally talented people, and the characters were great. You know, I compare it a lot to, it's like Seinfeld, where, and I'm not saying Night Court was as good as Seinfeld, but like the Richard Mull character. Richard Mull is not a good actor. Richard Mull has not really been in anything of any consequence since Night Court, but the Bull character was awesome, much like Kramer on Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. You know, the Michael Richards, obviously, has not been lighting the world on fire, but he was great at that character. Harry Anderson is the judge. Obviously, he's gone. Marky Post, mm-hmm. she's gone. So you're not going to recreate that. So after the first 3 minutes, you know, and then they do the same intro as before, the same music, and then you just realize these people are just out of ideas. Yeah. And I'm kind of disappointed in John Larroquette that he even agreed to do this. He can't need the money that bad.
Well, you never know, because he his article about his first break into the business.
Yes, we're going to get to that later. Which
how he got paid. It wasn't with money.
No, it blew my mind, and his mind was blown as well, apparently.
Exactly, exactly.
But anyway, yes, I would not
thumbs down.
Yeah, I would. Which okay. I knew. I didn't go into thinking, oh, this is going to be so. This is going to be so great. Mm-hmm. But I will say it was. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
So we did.
That's
get
a no on Night Court.
Yes, I would. I would say it was a no on Night Court. Now, if they bring Richard Mull back, because I was a big Bull fan, mm-hmm. then maybe we're talking a different game here. But he's like 100 years old. So okay. So we got a couple calls. People weighing in. Obviously, we did a Kinder Gentler Rob yesterday with the Jackson Brown mm-hmm. music. Try to do that today before Casey ripped the joy out of my soul by not allowing any more Dan Fogelberg to be played. A couple phone calls on that.
No. No, we do not want the Kinder, Gentler Rob. We want Off the Rails Rob. In fact, let's kick it up a notch. Casey, you need to fill him up with Mountain Dew, Coca-Cola, all the caffeine you can, maybe a couple of Red Bulls. Let's crank this sucker up. Yeah.
I agree. You can only be you.
Yeah, but I was kind of... here's the thing I found. I had a lot more energy at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Because I didn't exert as much energy.
Use it all on the air.
And so it was kind of really enjoying that.
You're not leaving it all on the field. And people want you to leave it all on the field.
Yeah, but I feel like here's the thing. Maybe we can appeal to more people if I still say the same brilliant stuff, but in a way that makes people feel like they got a hug instead of a kick to the groin.
Okay. And you said we had one more phone call about this?
Oh, yes. One more phone call about this.
Hello, Kendall and Casey. Mr. Rob, first of all, I want to say you can't keep being kind and gentle. You hold that stuff in, it'll just hurt you.
It's really not in your nature.
He's right. I think people, that's what they want from you. It's what they expect from you.
Yeah. Okay.
Off the rails.
Last phone call. We did a segment yesterday on how Chelsea Handler claimed that she had no idea until recently that the moon and the sun were not the same thing. And we were talking about how ridiculous that is that these people who are propped up like you should listen to them on government and politics and life and society and everything else. We're listening to a person who claims she did not know the moon and the sun were not
the same
thing. And then we started talking about how easy it would be to observe, even if you'd never read a history book or gone to school or whatever, based on the fact that, you know, one's going down and one's coming up. And some lady called, and I have not had time to look into this yet, but this is fascinating, about how the moon rises. And she was very upset that we did not know this. Like, how in the world would I know this unless I'm an astrologer? Or astrology, is that, what's it called if you study the...
Astrologist?
Astronomer.
Astronomer,
that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Unless I study space, which I do not, I study big government and politics and the Indiana Republicans repeatedly raising my taxes and growing my government and spending my money. That's what I study. I'm sorry I don't have time to study the space,
but at least I knew the moon and the sun weren't the same thing. Anyway, this lady appears very offended that we didn't know how the moon rises.
I had to laugh at you about just that moon talk. The truth is, and when the new moon is new, it comes up on the west. And every night, it comes up a little higher, a little higher. And by the time it's a full moon, you see it first in the east. And it works its way across. And if you go outside and a couple hours before daylight, you can see it in the west. And so you need to study this a little bit, because it's not just, you know, starts in this side, and it's not a permanent thing. It changes every single night.
You need to study it a little more, Casey.
Apparently, jack of all trades, master of none. So we threw the first stone, didn't we? We said Chelsea Handler didn't know what she was talking about, and then apparently we didn't either.
Well, we did know what we were talking about in the sense of the moon comes up as mm-hmm. the sun is going down, which was the premise of the comet, which how in the hell could it be the same thing even if you'd never read a book? Mm-hmm. If two things
are in the sky,
one's
the same
going
time.
Down and one's yeah. coming up, how would that even be possible?
Right.
But this lady was hyper offended that maybe we made an incorrect statement about how the moon rises. And I love, and again, I'm still clinging to some string of Kinder Gentler as the remnants of Dan Fogelberg bumper music still rings in my ears. I get great joy that that is what set that lady off to call. Not anything the government has done, not the taxes, not the growth of government, not, it's the moon. That's what did it for her.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and Hammer's going to join us next.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
In front of 11, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Gave up Dan Fogelberg for this.
Yep. Something with some tempo. Hammer's in the studio.
Happy
with us.
Happy birthday. Is it your birthday today?
Thank you. It is.
You want to see a picture of me naked?
You got one?
I do.
Let me see.
Oh, he's shown them before.
My phone's in my office, but I will.
Oh, sure it is.
Oh, he totally will. And
I
you
know.
Will not unsee it for the rest of your life.
I was going to paint a picture for our listeners, but I guess not.
Well, just think about that statue in Boston of Martin Luther King now. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Okay, so we sparked something in your head in our last segment that we did.
So you guys were talking about Richard Dreyfuss, and I would agree that his signature role is in Jaws.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff, but I think Jaws is the number one answer. If you did a Family Feud style survey, 100 people on Monument Circle, what's a Richard Dreyfuss movie? Number one answer would be Jaws.
Yeah.
What do you think the answer would be for Harrison Ford?
Ooh.
Is he Han Solo or is he Indiana Jones?
And then I told you during the break, I think there is a huge constituency who would also think of him as the fugitive.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we can talk about him as a successful actor in just a moment. But if you did that same Family Feud style survey, will more, and you showed a picture of him.
Yeah.
Will more people say that's Han Solo or that's Indiana Jones?
It's got to be Indiana Jones, right?
I'm going to say Han Solo.
I only say Indiana Jones, one, because those movies were so big in the 80s and he was obviously the main character. Mm-hmm. That and I don't like the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm thinking from a fashion perspective as well, that a lot of women over the past couple of years have dressed like him as Han Solo.
You've got a whip. I've seen it. Good night, everybody. Kevin, get in the mix here. Han Solo or Indiana Jones when you think of Harrison Ford?
Probably Indiana Jones.
Hmm? Man, I go Han Solo, though. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's close. You can make a case for either one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not even sure what the right answer is. Like, most actors that are successful, you can name their signature movie.
Right.
Tom Hanks has done a bunch of stuff, but he's Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Right? That's the number one answer, I think, on his list. Han Solo or Harrison Ford or Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford is interesting.
He's been doing Han Solo longer.
He has. But there's another Indiana Jones movie coming out, next year.
Yeah. And you raised the question, I think it's fair, is Harrison Ford the most accomplished actor of all time?
You look at the hit movies that he's had over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the sequels that he has been a part of have made money. A lot of people do sequels, and a lot of them stink.
Yeah.
Right? But, man, the Star Wars movies, the Indiana Jones movies, he kind of played the same character in a couple other different movies.
I don't mean to Mount Rushmore this, but it would be, like, what would it be? It'd be Ford, it'd be Tom Hanks has got to be obviously up there. Tom Cruise is probably a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Al Pacino, possibly. Case could be made for, like, maybe Michael Douglas. If you're talking about the modern actors.
Yeah, who have just had just sustained commercial, like, box office success.
Sustained success.
Yeah. Robert De Niro.
He's a lunatic, but De Niro's probably on the list.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to say, okay, this person for X amount of years is in a movie, you know people are going to probably want to go see that movie.
Oh, Nicolas Cage.
6 years, Kevin.
Throw him in it.
Because Valley Girl's a classic.
Oh, I love that movie.
He made a Superman movie so bad they didn't put it out. They didn't release it.
That's kind of his thing, though. I mean, it's like a part of his charm is, you know, just the goofy characters and all that.
What's the movie with Nicolas Cage where Dana Carvey and John Lovitz are in it with him and they're bank robbers?
Opportunity Knocks?
Is that it?
Oh. Wait, you told me about that movie. That was the Christmas movie, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Trapped in Paradise. Oh,
okay.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
That was a good one.
Everything with John Lovitz is great. He's probably on that list, too.
Nicolas Cage now, though, I think has accepted the fact that he's almost like a parody of himself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
He did a movie, I think it came out last year.
Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Right. Where he's kind of making fun of the fact that he's Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Weird Al movie yet, by the way?
I have not.
I haven't either. Kevin told me about it, and I thought, okay, it's got to be on one of these streaming platforms.
Is that Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah.
That I pay all this money for, and it's not on any of these platforms that I pay all this money for. So, Kevin, I'm not asking you to pirate the movie for me, but...
Pirate the movie for him.
I'll get you a copy.
Can I just
come
over to your house at some point? Or
yeah,
whatever?
Sure.
Hey, Rob's here.
I've got the Roku channel.
Nothing says cool like a Weird Al viewing party.
What's coming up this afternoon?
You are going to come by and just flip out and go off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's
more
allowed.
Holdenberg.
Yeah, it's allowed.
You took it from me.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Happy birthday, Casey!
Thank you.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.